And in this particular case, coming to you live from Splash at Thrive City, where Jody and the gang are getting ready for their fantasy draft. They are on the scene, maybe a few more going to work their way in, and then the draft will unfold, and so we'll start to get a little bit of a vibe of what a draft looks like, feels like, who's going higher than we thought, who's going lower than we thought. Just one example, but it's kind of fun to see that, almost use it like your own mock draft,
oh, yeah,
if you will. So that's all going on right now. Willard and Dibs live, and again, 888-957-9570. What if you take that other perspective? What does that do for your expectations of the 49ers this year? And I have a huge amount of respect for Robert Saleh, and he's not going to keep this thing vanilla by any stretch. And so, sure, I know there will be injuries. I know there will be players who right now are question marks, and maybe they will underperform. I know everyone's excited about Marquise Siegel, but who knows what happens when the lights come on? I don't know. I'm not suggesting they're going to win all the games, but explain to me how they're going to lose most of them. Like, explain to me how they're going to lose most of the games to these quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's not about most of them, but if you want to just go ahead and, like, play the schedule game, worst case scenario, injuries aside, you're opening up against Seattle on the road, never easy.
Correct.
And Sam Darnold coming off a great year, and the Seahawks with a great defensive-minded head coach, that game feels to me, without Juwan Jennings, maybe he plays, and who knows what the receivers are going to be like. That game feels like a Jake Moody special. It's a losable game in the opener against Seattle. That game is more likely to be 17-16 than it is 31-30.
Yeah, you're probably right. And then, the very next week, you get to go play Spencer Rattler, give me a break.
Oh, yeah. He's likely to get rattled at home. He's the Rattler. That's a two.
Kyler Murray after that, Trevor Lawrence, Matthew Stafford again. I'm not saying, and then Baker Mayfield, I'm not saying these are incapable players. But there's nobody who is going to come in and just carve you up if your defense is, I don't know, worth the salt. I still want to trumpet that as much as possible. When people go through all of the reasons why things went south for the 49ers last year, you'll hear most people go, well, injuries, Mark. It was injuries. Sure, you're not wrong, and some of those injuries were on the defensive side of the ball, so if that's your point, I get it. Although when people talk about injuries, they're not usually talking about defense. They're talking about McCaffrey. They're talking about the wide receivers. That's what they're usually talking about, Trent Williams. But that team went 6-11 last year because, as you just pointed out, their defense was patently awful. They were not bad. They were terrible.
Right.
They were brutally, brutally awful. And they were still in games that we often felt, man, you had that. You had that sucker there at the end. At least three or four games where you're like, dude, you just coughed that up. And that was with a defense that was performing at a bottom of the league level. If Saleh can get this even just into the top half of the league, I think the 49ers are going to have a wonderful season.
And I think that it's going to come down to how they do in the second half, and I'm going to borrow from Guru and throw out a Maggie Seaver growing pains, because when you're going to start and rely on this many, young players, it might be a November, December where the defense really starts to take hold. And to that point, you've got the Panthers and the Browns, you've got the Titans, the Colts, and the Bears all in the back third of your schedule. So you're talking about the schedule, and, Seattle on the road early is tough. You mentioned Rattler, fine. Arizona's beaten you twice in a row.
Sure.
And, the Jaguars should be better, but, not better enough to win.
Yeah.
Short week against the Rams. The Rams are going to be very difficult. Tampa Bay with Baker Mayfield and that offense is going to test you now. So when you get through that first six, you might be 3-3. And at that point, obviously, no time to panic, but I think that the first six games are a lot tougher than the last six.
Let's go to Mike in Santa Clara here on Willard and Dibs live at Splash at Thrive City. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Going off of your question, Willard and Dibs, barring injuries aside and everything, the one area I think that could just be a questionable for me is the receiver play. For me, you're obviously getting Ayuk back after week six, but again, how is he going to be after 6 weeks? And also, you know, how, like, how comfortable and how, you know, fresh is he going to be. And if you remember last season, when he was coming back, he did not have the greatest time before. He did not have the greatest play before he got hurt either. So that's one part for me. How is Juwan Jennings going to feel? How fresh is he going to be? Not really playing at all during the preseason amid, like, you know, the calf strain or the contract situation. So you're really left with just, you know, Kittle, Ricky Pearsall, and I mean, you're out DeMarcus Robinson for 3 weeks also now. So really for me, it's the wide receiver section that's really questionable for me that could lead to a potential bad season. Among that, you guys, you also kind of said it, Dibs, you know, what's going to happen with the Moody situation? How many times has it come down where a point or 3 points has really made a difference in the game where we could have won it? So those are my two areas, guys. And last thing I wanted to say is, can't wait to see you guys on the 4th over at King's Fish House. So looking forward to meeting you guys finally.
Mike, can't wait to see you there. Yeah, it's going to be a big night next Thursday night. We're looking forward to it. Mike, you bring up legit concerns. I'm certainly not trying to make a point that the Niners are concern-free. I'm just talking about how do you then blend that with what you're going to see as the larger scale of their schedule. If you want to have concerns about the wide receiver slot, who doesn't? Everybody does, but I also think that's largely a concern early rather than late. This could go a bunch of different ways, but you know, I've said this a bunch of times. If you do get some level of health as you get deeper into the season, I'm very comfortable with the group.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of depth there, actually, but that comes once you get into the season. If you're concerned about it early, I get it, but I don't think the first 3 weeks of the season, those are not going to crater your entire year. It's not enough for me to say, oh, yeah, the Niners might not be good this year.
Agreed, and I just look at the first three, the games that DeMarcus Robinson will miss with the suspension now becoming official pre 1 o'clock, so he's out until week 4. I think that the game at Seattle is going to be a lot of two tight ends, a lot of two running backs, and it's going to be a lot of smash mouth in both directions. Seattle's got a good running game, and the Niners are going to try to impose their will at the Saints in week 2. I mean, if not having Ayuk and maybe Juwan, and we don't know about Juwan, but you should be able to beat them with Gage and Chosen and Pearsall and whoever else you want to roll out to beat the Saints. You were funny earlier on our show thread. You just sent a picture of a tank.
Yeah.
And I was like, at first I was like, all right, what? And then I was like, oh, he's implying that the Saints are tanking.
Yes, correct. They would like Arch Manning to be their quarterback next year.
Well, he's not going to be their quarterback.
Probably not.
You know, he's going to say no thank you. His grandpa's been through it. His grandpa was there, and he got the tar beat out of him when he was a Saint back in the 70s.
Yeah, but that's a long time ago.
It was, but it was just interesting because I don't think the Saints are tanking. I just think they're terrible. So, and it's a fine line between the two.
Yeah, I mean, the tanking. Like, again, I think at a certain point you're smart in this league when you don't have a clear answer at quarterback and you're not in love with options that you have in the draft. Then kick the can down the road. Don't force it. Don't be like, let's go get Aaron Rodgers. No. Give us Spencer Rattler and give yourself a shot at the first or second or third pick next year where you could actually get someone that you can build around. So it's not a tank. It's more just like, willfully losing.
Sure, we'll get you next time.
Yeah.
Interesting about that because the Jags, the week 4 opponent, they don't have their first-round pick next year. They traded it to Cleveland to move up to pick up Travis Hunter.
Yep.
So, you know, the Jags are all in on their quarterback. That's week 4. Robinson back for that. And so I'm with you. If you get to, let's just call it week 10. If Ayuk is ready after week 6 or 7, but it takes him a couple weeks to ramp up, you get to week 10, Juwan's settled his contract. Pearsall's now in the heart of a first real NFL year, and you've got, you know,
DeMarcus Robinson,
and then
there's questions of, like, you know, maybe
Cowing or Watkins.
They really like Watkins. Maybe he's able to do some things.
But you've got that depth that you're talking about, and it had me thinking a little bit about the Giants rotation this year where you had all this depth, and then you traded two starters. I mean, Jordan Hicks, adios, Pelota, and Kyle Harrison immediately into AAA, but Then you had some injuries in your rotation, and now all of a sudden, your position of strength was now a position of weakness.
Absolutely.
So you don't want to do that if you're the Niners at receiver, is all I'm saying.
No doubt. I agree with that completely. All right. Hey, guys, when are you actually starting the draft? What time are you actually going to start making picks?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Okay, save some food for us now. Go easy. Everybody's going, you're going crazy over there now. Okay, all right, there it is.
And he's got the Ali Down Goes Frazier t-shirt. That is one of the greatest t-shirts I've ever seen.
It's an impressive group here early on. We're liking it early.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're loving
that's
it early.
That's a strong t-shirt, Jody.
It is funny.
It is. All right, beautiful. We're having fun.
Pre-Ali, I apologize.
Splash at Thrive City. Hey, remember the game that I mentioned I wanted to play with you guys? Hey, Lucas, you're going to need to get on the air. Lucas, you're going to need to get a headset. Not right now. Coming up next, let's play Kevin Durant's favorite phrase. Who are you?
Who are you?
That
was good.
Yeah, we're going to play. The roster is out, and there are some players that I think we need to get to know. I've compiled a list, 5 players, 5 questions in each, and you and Lucas and Grandy, since we don't actually have buzzers, you can just yell buzzer.
I mean, we yell your name.
Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah.
And the first one I hear, like if you've got a guess.
Dibs.
However, this is going to be a little bit of a guillotine game. I'll explain the rules.
Sounds like fun.
I'll explain the rules. Coming up next, and if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Withered and Dibs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Do it for the other shows as well. Morning Roast had Baldinger on today. He was great. You can check that out. 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
So what was on the menu? 7 steaks? 2 whole chickens?
Well, I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, I'm pulling my prep. I have to turn away from you now. Because I got all the answers here on my screen.
I'm not going to cheat. It doesn't mean that much to me. Is there a prize for winning?
Yeah.
Do I get to invite 14 friends and get free food at Splash?
No, we are handing out chicken sliders to the winners.
Whoa, all right.
Yeah. Grandy, yours will be to go. Grandy is back at the station. Dibby and I and Lucas and obviously Tim on the wheels here are all on the scene at Splash at Thrive City. And now, I each break, I'm going over there and I'm learning more about these human beings.
I am too.
And these are high-quality human beings over here, okay? They not only did they all get here at 4 o'clock on a Tuesday, they just attacked the food table, and the nachos are gone, and the salad has not been touched.
Okay.
And I'm like, these are my people.
Yeah, no doubt.
Look at these people over here. But the salad, I don't want to tell you, it's delicious.
Yeah.
But nobody, right, we're doing a fantasy draft, and I feel like I'm almost looking in their eyes. I'm judging them a little bit. I think they feel like they'll be judged. Like, if you sit down and you're like, all right, I got the 9th pick, and then you're like, and you just pick lettuce in
salad,
your mouth.
Kale.
It's just different, right? That's an out-of-the-box thing to do.
Yeah, Homer Simpson famously had a song that he created when Lisa Simpson went vegetarian. You don't make friends with salad. And then they broke into a conga line with Marge and Bart and even Snowball 2, the cat, I think, at the time, jumped in.
Yeah. So,
and Santa's Little Helper, the dog, of course. You don't make friends with salad.
I like that.
Yeah, it was catchy.
The night could go that way, by the way, with this group. They're in. They're in for fun. I also asked, I'm like, so who's got the first pick? And I got like 8 blank stares.
Oh.
And I looked at all of them and I go, oh, you haven't even done it yet, have you? And they're like, nope.
Yeah.
These crazy people are just going to get a draft order and then bang, go.
Isn't that how ours goes? Like,
release the hounds.
You do the draft order like an hour before?
Yeah, but not this year.
Exactly. I'm pushing the morning show to actually do the lottery on Tuesday morning.
All right.
So we have about 24 hours to prep.
That'd be fun.
Okay.
Just real quick, I was asking the guys, hey, why are some over at that table and some over here? And the one guy says, that guy's a Raider fan. And I said, which one? And he says, the one with the tats. And I was like,
you should have looked at you and been like, which one do you think?
Well, and I said, I don't want, I'm not out here trying to profile.
Over here.
But I'm like, he's like, the one with the tats. Yeah. I said, that's gold. Yeah.
The one who's been here since 1 o'clock.
Totally.
Anyway.
The guy with the eye patch.
Exactly. All right, so we're having fun with that. And then in a few, we're going to get to a game that I just decided to create for today. Who are you? And that is basically looking at
who
the
are
Niners.
You?
Thank you, Kevin. So we got the new Niner roster, and I selected, I want to help all of our listeners get to know some of these Niners. And so, yes, like, I'll clue you in, like, Christian McCaffrey's not on the list. Like,
gotcha.
These are, right, some people who maybe you need a little help getting to know. And so all three of you, Grandy, Lucas, Dibs, you participate in this. I'll guide you through five players, five questions. Can you guess who the player is? And then we will see who is the champion of the 49er roster between the three of you.
And you mentioned guillotine mode, which scares me a little bit, but I think I have an idea what that means.
What I mean by that, and you guys, I want to give you a little power in this. If you don't want to do it this way, you don't have to, but my deal is if you do make an incorrect guess, you're out on that player.
Yeah, that's fair.
You're out.
And if all three of us get out, then we're all back in.
Correct.
Reverse guillotine mode.
Exactly. Exactly.
You get your head sewn back on, and we're back in the game.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like one of those guillotines that actually is like the guillotines that the magicians use. Food down. Food down. Wow. What just happened? Is everybody okay? Wow, that was dramatic. It looks like we're all right. Okay, so anyway, we'll do that in a little bit. But let's go to Chris in Fremont, who wants to give another whirl at telling us that the Niners won't be good this year. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's up?
So my reasoning for thinking that they're not going to be a possible playoff team is they are not even the best team in their own division. They were 1-5 last year against the NFC West, only one win. They've lost two key guys on defense with Hufanga and Greenlaw, and they're really not better offensively. Like, if Christian McCaffrey is healthy, of course that makes them better, but they're depleted at receiver. The teams around them are getting better, and even if they're not the best team in their division, they're still losing to teams like they are not the best team in their division. So that's all I had, guys.
Yeah, Chris, here's how I'd answer that, because I can't just categorically say you're wrong, but I can come back with this. Like, I feel like you're making this year too much about last year. It's a new year. So the fact that they went 1-5 against the NFC West last year, I find irrelevant. By the way, most Niner fans will tell you right away they can think of one game against all three of those other division teams where it's like, dude, you had that game. That game was over. You had it in the fourth quarter, and you blew it. And yes, that's part of the NFL. But
it's also a little circumstantial because you played Arizona the last week of the year.
That
and
too.
You gave up 47 points, and you didn't even care
you
about
weren't
the
trying.
Game.
Yeah, so like
it still counts as a loss, but it's contextual.
I just don't think last year's got anything to do with this year. And saying that you lost key players such as Dre Greenlaw, he barely played last year. Talanoa Hufanga, he barely played last year. So you didn't lose key players off of last year's roster. However, what I keep saying to people when they go, man, the defense got worse, I'm like, how could it? I would like almost everyone not named Fred and Nick to be gone off of last year's team. Lenore, Renardo Green, there
sure,
are others.
Sure.
But no, I think this upgrade at defensive coordinator cannot be understated. I think they've got better players on defense just because of the fact that they have made some changes. Sure, there are question marks. Young guys, we'll see if they produce. But last year, to me, has got nothing to do with this year. And as far as the offense, he said that they haven't gotten appreciably better. Then he sort of brings up McCaffrey, and so I'm like, well, yeah, they did. If they've got a healthy McCaffrey, and B, I don't think the offense was a problem last year. They were good enough.
Yeah, it wasn't a problem, but it wasn't great.
They weren't great, but they were good enough. They were good enough to win football games if paired with a defense that was producing something.
Well, the problems with the offense last year is that they were quite poor in the red zone. They were middle of the pack, so when you got down there, you didn't get touchdowns a lot of the time. McCaffrey missed 13 games. The bright spots in the offense, and I was sharing some of this on our show thread, you look at the last 2 years, the Niners lead the NFL in yards per play. That's just a simple yards per play. Last year they were fourth in yards per play, even though they went 6-11 and they only scored 23 points a game. They were able to move the ball at an elite level, and the Brock Purdy stats are even crazier. He's number one in pass yards per attempt over the last 2 years, and that includes, you know, last year where you had to throw it a lot more, and the year before where you ran it a ton. He's third in passer rating and so many other metrics. I don't want to bombard you with numbers, but Aaron Schatz, who is one of the experts, and he's the creator of DVOA, a true elite analytic, he called him the best bad team in the history of DVOA, and that's off of last year.
And Greg Cosell went through every Brock Purdy drop back and told you, I walked away thinking, wow, what a really good player.
Right.
So again, there's context to all of this, but that's my thing. Like, I can't say that any opinion on what the Niners are about to do is wrong. I just think that, like, all that thought process was, well, this is what they did last year. Well, that was last year.
Right.
This is a different team. Totally different scenario, different health, different teams on the schedule, different everything.
Yeah. Debo and no Jordan Mason and Aaron Banks, your left guard, got an absolute ton of money. And I was looking earlier, and he actually is getting the start in Green Bay at left guard.
Yes. Yeah. No, Moore is the one who's not.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you have an offensive line that should be better than last year just by the fact that Trent Williams is going to be out there. And again, if you have an injury to the quarterback, well, all bets are off. And even if you lose Kittle or Fred Warner or Trent Williams, you know, these are guys who, if you lose them for a long stretch of time, well, everything has to get recalibrated a little bit.
All right, y'all ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. Grandy, let's get a little accoutrement, if possible, here. Let's play Who Are You?
Who Are You?
With the Niners'
Who
brand spanking new roster that has now been released as of today. Here are the rules. There will be Dibs, there will be Lucas, there will be Grandy. Dibs, you propose that you guys just yell out the word Mark as your buzzer.
Lucas.
Or your own name.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Whatever I hear first, you can yell
Mark.
Whatever I can yell
Mark.
Yeah, he can yell Mark. Thank you.
With a C.
What'd you think I was talking? Yeah, so say Mark. Anyway, bottom line is, first thing I hear, we go to that player, but if you guess incorrectly, you are out for the rest of that player.
Cha-cha! Guillotine.
Until everybody's out, and then we can circle back in. There will be 5 clues for each player. You may buzz in whenever you want. Player number one.
Number one.
I was born in Ohio and went to college in the state. Okay, on to clue number two. I am entering my 5th year in the league. Okay, I will wear a number north of the number 50.
Huh.
That's a noise.
It's not my name. My name's not, huh?
All right. Clue number four. I have 11,200 followers on Instagram.
That's random.
What? Well, take whatever you want from that. I have 11,000, not that many for an NFL player. I have 11,200 followers on Instagram.
Lucas.
Okay, let's go live to Lucas.
Does he share a similar name to my? Do I get questions?
You don't get to answer.
Luke Farrell, tight end.
Lucas takes a 1-0 lead. Luke Farrell,
come on,
tight end, the blocking tight end, leaving Jacksonville. The last clue I was going to say, I scored 4 times in college, but have yet to score in the pros.
Yes. 4 times in college? Yeah.
4 times, brother.
Yeah, had a long-term girlfriend, I guess.
I don't know if it was a different game each time.
Gotcha.
But anyway, yes, Lucas
nice,
is up.
Lucas.
Lucas so much
one,
better than Grandy.
Dib 0,
yes.
Grandy 0. We
Chill.
Go on to player number 2. All right. I am from Oregon.
Who are you?
On to clue number 2. I played 3 positions in high school. None of them are the position I will play for the Niners.
Dibs.
Ooh. Dan Dibley.
Jordan James.
Guillotine.
Wow.
Damn. Cuckoosh.
Clue number 3 for Lucas and Grandy.
I'm not guessing, so Dibs can't have his head back.
That hurts.
I played Division 3 in college.
Oh.
I played D3. At a Division 3 college. Clue number four. In order to put on weight in college, I had a daily habit of consuming a protein shake consisting of 7 scrambled eggs, a tub of cottage cheese, quick grits, peanut butter, bananas, and Gatorade.
Randy.
Let's go live to Grady for this guess.
Is this Ben Barch?
Point for Mark Grandy.
Okay.
Grandy ties up Lucas. The last clue was my first name and last name start with the same letter. So there it is.
I would have gone Connor Colby. Am I right?
Lucas and Grandy have a point, and then there's Dibber Claus, who's still trying. Yeah. All right. Player number 3.
You're doing great, Dibs.
I am from Alabama and went to school in the South. But not Alabama.
Oh, tricky.
Clue number 2. I tore a ligament in my wrist last year. Clue number 3. The Niners are my 3rd career team. Clue number 4. In college, I was on the Bednarik and Nagurski Award watch lists.
Dibs.
Let's go to Dan Dibley.
Connor Colby.
Okay. The Bednarik and Nagurski awards are... Anyway.
He wasn't on them, apparently.
Guillotine.
Nor did he hurt his wrist.
Guillotine for Dan Dibley. We go to clue number 5.
Schmidt.
I am one of only a few current 49ers with a Super Bowl ring.
Oh.
Five seconds.
I know this one now. Too bad I got no head.
5 seconds and Dibs gets to come back into the game.
Mm-mm.
All right.
Dibs.
I will open it back up, and now I'm just going to make clues up off the top of my head.
Dibs.
All right. You want to do another guess?
The headless Dibs.
Dibs.
Sky Moore.
Guillotine.
He You're back on the ring.
Yes, he does, but it's not.
Motherfucker.
Sky Moore. All right. Back to, again, just
make this game.
Just making up clues as I go. The Niners traded for me this offseason.
Grandy.
Dibs.
Grandy.
Who is Bryce Huff?
Point. Mark Grandy takes a 2-1
it's not
lead.
Jeopardy. Who is? Say it with your chest.
Whatever. Grandy's got 2. Lucas has got 1. Grandy now playing for the win already here in round 4.
How many rounds? 5 rounds?
5 rounds.
I've got 2.
You've got 0.
Guillotine.
Yes, you do.
Actually, 3.
I love your...
Pretty good.
I told you I love effort. You're putting in a big
Thank
effort.
Thank you.
All right.
Process, not results, right?
2 for Grandy, 1 for Lucas, and then there's the Dibbers.
Oh,
all right. Player number 4. I played college football at 2 different universities, both in the same state.
Okay.
Clue 2. I'm only 24 years old. Clue number 3. I'm known for a huge hit on Jaden Daniels while we were both in college. Clue number 4. I wasn't Mr. Irrelevant, but I was close. Clue number 5. I've already recovered 2 fumbles in my short career.
Lucas.
Let's go live to Lucas.
D. Winters.
Guillotine for Lucas.
Effort, though.
Good effort.
Thank you.
Dibs and Grandy still in the game.
Dibs.
Dibs.
Need this to stay alive.
Let's
in this
go,
game.
Dibs.
Tatum Bethune.
Point, Dan Dibley.
Let's go.
Huge.
Let's go, Splash.
On the board, and the championship is still open.
Call it a comeback.
To all 3 of you.
Come on now.
As we go to player number 5. If you're just joining us, this is Who Are You?
Who Are You?
We're going through the Niners new roster. 5 players, not big names. 5 players, 5 clues for each.
It's a lot more fun now.
Grandy has 2.
You have life.
Lucas has 1. Dibley has 1. I haven't even thought of a tie. Breaker, but it looks like there's probably going to be one unless you win here, Grandy. Let's find out.
No, me and you.
To our
Anybody
final
but Grandy.
Player number 5. I was once suspended for a game in college for undisclosed reasons.
Huh?
My draft profile said I was, quote, able to contort and adjust body midair. Clue number three. Like many great Niners, I was a fifth-round draft pick.
Lucas. Jordan Watkins.
Guillotine.
Oh, I thought you had it.
So,
that's a great guess.
Lucas stands by as we go to clue number four.
Come on, Dibs.
I have two career sacks of Jaden Daniels, but they happened in the pros, not in college. Clue number five. This will be the first time in my career I play for a team outside of the Big Apple. Okay. No guesses yet. We can start doing this on the fly.
Grandy's scared, I think.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. All right. So the clues are all on the table. Let me repeat them. I was once suspended for a game in college for undisclosed reasons.
Dibs.
Draft profile said I'm able to contort and adjust my body midair.
Dibber claws.
Like great Niners, I was a fifth round pick.
Dan Dibley.
I have two career sacks of Jaden Daniels, but they both happened in the pros.
Nostra Diblis.
This will be the first time in my career I play for a team outside of the Big Apple. Let's go to Dan Dibley for this guess.
Bryce Huff.
Guillotine.
Oh, no!
So,
Grandy,
I now just lay it out to you. You have a free guess for the championship.
Oh, boy.
You may guess away as you please. However, because of the nature, I will not add more clues unless you are wrong.
All right. Is it Jason Pinnock?
Ladies and gentlemen.
No, don't do it. The Weeknd?
Just like a knockout tournament,
no.
We have ourselves a champion, and that champion is Mark Grandy.
Wildly unpopular champ.
That was amazing.
Good job, Grandy.
Yeah, Jason Pinnock, who played only for the Jets and the Giants prior to this year.
Pinnock.
Come on, Tibbs.
Well, I thought you were going to have that Pinnock. One for sure. Pinnock.
Bryce Huff, two out of the five answers.
I mean, you never know with this guy, right? And I forgot he was our answer.
That would have been amazing. If I started, I'm like, yeah, let's repeat players. I don't.
And he played for the Eagles. I knew he played for the Jets. Nah. That's why. Yeah, you hate to see him on the Eagles.
Just Super Bowl ring. He has a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah. Good job,
Super
Grandy.
Bowl.
Congrats.
Yeah. Anyways,
I was by myself in the studio with the internet.
Isn't it? It's three Niners who have a Super Bowl ring, right? Or did we think of any others? DeMarcus Robinson, Sky Moore, and Bryce Huff. Is that right? Are those the only ones?
I think that's it.
Are we thinking of anyone else?
There is somebody else. Then I hope the buzzer comes for you.
All I said was he's one of a few.
Yeah,
that's all I said.
And I think you're right.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember anybody else who might.
Okay, that was fun.
It's
good job,
fun.
Boys.
Yeah,
Grandy, stop winning everything. Actually, I like that you win all of the things at our station that don't include cash prizes. In other words, it's not like you're going to win the fantasy league. You can win this, though.
We'll see.
Yeah. Good job. We'll bring you a chicken sando.
Okay, I'm in.
All right. Sweet.
And I do want to give you, Lucas, homework between now and, I don't know, the end of the football season. Let's get a trophy, and let's get all the people who've won this league on there, and let's just have it be a thing.
We'll just take Grandy's first trophy that he won in the first knockout tournament.
Boom.
Okay.
Yeah.
And perfect.
We'll just vandalize it.
I like it. Yeah. Get a trophy with all the names of the past winners on there. Let me know when you need the spelling of my last name. All right. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. 888-957-9570. The latest on Juwan Jennings. Looking at the schedule. Why are your expectations so low? We'll keep on chatting it out on Niner Cutdown Day live at Splash at Thrive City. Plus Jody's draft is going to start here in 18 minutes. It is on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Well, I was on hold and waiting for you guys to talk to me. Jaden Daniels is FaceTiming me, so I had to tell him, I got to go on this show. I'll get back to you when I get off the show. So,
come on, coach.
On 95.7 The Game.
Like, I just want to spend not a lot of time on this because it's going to bother you and you, Lucas. But I just want to bring to light, like the YouTube chat, before that thing was even over, they're like, Grandy wins everything. He's going to win this. And then Grandy won this. And everyone's like, dude, like, Grandy is like, he's becoming the New England Patriots of little games that we play here at 95.7.
Yes and no. We've done higher or lower twice, and
that's
he won once, and Lucas actually
won another.
I guess
true.
That was
that's
an
true.
Upset when Lucas beat him.
He didn't even make the finals. Didn't it go to extra? You and I went to like overtime or something like
right.
that. Yeah.
The
yeah.
really surprising one is the fact that he backed that thing up at the knockout. It's one thing to win a knockout
that is
tournament,
crazy. Like, I wish
and then
people,
you come back the next year and you win it again.
Dude, there's like 60 people in that
correct.
Line. Like, we're not talking
and
about...
And he went first.
Right.
So, you're vulnerable other than with the goo behind
right.
you. I'm out. yeah.
There's two amazing things that happened at the second knockout tournament. One is that they had the same champion.
Yep.
And the other is that it happened to goo again.
Right.
Like,
and the third is that I got to do 7 minutes of radio with Evan Giddings waiting for Guru to finish, and
damn.
I'm out, and next thing you know, I'm off the air.
Yeah.
I showed up. Evan
oh,
and I were
no.
getting deep. Yeah. I was ready to
it's
really...
like, this is my time slot. Like, get
yeah.
out of my seat.
I was looking at, I got takes, Evan.
Oh,
I had
God.
To go into speed round.
That was super fun. I can't wait to do it again next year. But anyway, yeah, congrats, Grandy, on your crown for Who Are You, which I guess we probably won't play again until next year. Although, Roster Cutdown Day has a little bit of a different vibe this time around because we have an official roster, and I don't think any of us think that this is actually the official roster. Like, yes, we see the strategy of what the Niners are doing, but you can tell right away that more changes are coming.
Yeah, they have to be coming because right now you've got two wide receivers on your active roster that are actually wide receivers, one of whom is Sky Moore, and there's a reason why Kansas City was, not eager to trade him, but open to the idea.
I don't think he was going to make the team.
Right, so the Niners went out and swapped their seventh for Kansas City sixth, or vice versa, their sixth for Kansas City seventh, and you brought in a guy who ideally would be a camp body, but DeMarcus Robinson out for three, Ayuk out for six, maybe more, Juwan Jennings, could play week one.
Question mark.
And could not play all year,
yeah.
or somewhere in between. And so because of that, you're right, the roster is not the roster. And it's a little bit like a fantasy football roster where the Niners have no punter. And sometimes you do a fantasy draft and you just don't draft a kicker. Or maybe you don't draft a defense and then you go on the waiver wire and you pick one
figure
up.
Figure it out later.
You figure it out
yeah.
later. And that's what the Niners are kind of doing with their punter situation.
Well, and Thomas Morstead already tweeted out,
right.
relax, which means he knows he's coming back. Yes, the Niners are buying a little bit more time. And that probably does have to do with Juwan and a couple other things. They're figuring out health, who's going to go on IR. It also allows the Niners to see who else might be available at the wide receiver position because you get to see everybody else's cuts. And certain guys who are pretty accomplished in the league find their way onto the street. And so I do wonder if there's some interest there from the 49ers. Three names that popped my eye today, and I know there are more, but Deontay Johnson, 2 years ago, was the Steelers' leading receiver. You also have Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Everybody knows him. He's been with the Packers, the Chiefs, and more. He got released by the Seahawks today. And then also former Raider Hunter Renfro, who has good hands and is a reliable guy over the middle, kind of a slot receiver type, and he was with the Panthers this year and did not make the squad. So those are some examples. Don't know if those raise the Niners' eyebrows or not, but we'll see. We'll see over the next 24 to 48, I would imagine.
Yeah, and you got to see who clears waivers among those players who are actually on waivers. If you've been in the league for four or more years, you don't have to go through waivers, which is how Morstead, he gets cut.
Yep.
It's like, don't go to Aruba.
Right.
Go ahead and stay close, Keep your cleats nearby because you'll be back in a matter of just minutes. And if you look at the final roster, like they have 10 offensive linemen right now on their 53, and Matt Maiocco is kind of theorizing that Drew Moss, undrafted, he might be a guy who gets cut, and you get cut, and if it's after 3 or 4 days, well, everyone else has already picked up who they're going to pick up, so right. A guy like that can immediately go to the practice squad. And you look at the final 53, and there is some excess in there that you're going to see them, you know, trim off, especially if they're able to go out and get another wide receiver.
Yeah, and they're definitely going to have to do something with that room, and so I get that that's a popular answer right now. We'll get back to the full Juwan situation and let you hear something that Charles Davis said right here at the top of the hour earlier in the show. He and I see the Jennings situation a little different. I'm not sure where you come down on it, but we'll talk that out in just a little bit. We are live at Splash at Thrive City. We gave away the opportunity to come have a private fantasy football draft here at Splash tonight. Our great listener Jody in San Jose was the winner. I couldn't be more impressed with his group because he's actually got a group. Again, I've never seen this many people who are available at 4 o'clock on a Tuesday, especially since most of them are in the South Bay. They made it all the way up to Mission Rock here in the city. They're here. They're ready. Their draft is starting in 6 minutes. Lucas is going to be our roving correspondent, and so every time he goes over there to get a slider, he will loop back and get an update on who's being picked and where, etc., their draft gets started.
That way we can all get a little educated on just another piece of info about another draft, and, you know, this one, be interesting to see how much of a Niner slant there is. I know there's at least a Raider fan in the group, but, you know, you're in, I'm sure, multiple leagues of primarily Niner fans, and so those Niner players probably go earlier than they would in other drafts.
I will tell you, my high school draft over the weekend, I had the 9th pick, and I was thinking, boy, I wonder if CMC will get to me. Because in most drafts, that's kind of where he
right
had been
he
going.
Is, yep.
Like somewhere late first, early second. Dude went off the board at 4.
Yeah.
4. That's what happens when you got a bunch of Niner fans in your draft.
Yeah, and this is not the cockamamie 2-quarterback one.
No. This is just a regular fantasy football draft.
Yeah, and McCaffrey's an interesting one, and the other one that I've been kind of poo-pooing is Saquon Barkley, but the more I think about Saquon Barkley and that offensive line, he doesn't automatically have to get hurt just because he had a monster amount of touches.
No.
And if you think about that offensive line, that coach, that mentality, they are going to run a ton. So if he stays healthy, he could have another monster year.
He's a top 4 running back pick and a top 6 fantasy pick,
right,
no matter what. And you're not wrong. He might be number 1. But the other names that are in there from Bijan and then Jahmyr Gibbs, obviously Ja'Marr Chase.
Yep.
Some people will elevate some of those other receivers, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley. Those are the people that are kind of going off the board in the top 7 or so. At my 9, I ended up with Malik Nabers.
Oh, not bad.
Malik Nabers of the New York Giants.
And in a 16-team league like we have, if you're picking, I don't know, like 11 or 12, you might think about Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson.
You just certainly could. I mean,
if you're already,
everybody has
if
their
the first
approach.
10 picks, you've got wide receivers and running backs that are flying off the shelves, would you rather have RB7 or QB1?
Some people like to zag when people are zigging.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
All right, so 888-957-9570. We're also throwing out there, we read the list of at least week one starting quarterbacks that the Niners are slated to face this year, and it leads us to the question of, like, dude, other than predicting an injury for the 49ers, like, how are you going to make the case that this is not a playoff team? I'm not even saying a division winner. I'm not saying a dominant team. But how are you going to look at that group of quarterbacks and think that the 49ers don't have optimism for this year? And so we've been taking some calls on that. Don on the freeway is next. Hey, Don, thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Can you hear me?
We got you, brother.
Oh, yeah, right on. Oh, you know, I've been watching the Niners for years. You know what I'm saying? You know, the skill set. Skill set is a big deal. If those guys can't go out there and do Kyle Shanahan's plays, which is another thing, everybody line up, everybody in our division knows his plays, man. It's going to be the coach. Got to come up with some new plays. You got to have the skill set and the anticipation of, is McCaffrey a step off? Is he a runner like he was? Is he fast? And special teams. That's why I think their year might suck. But for me, we'll see you in the Super Bowl, baby. Yeah.
Let's go. Let's go. Thank you, Don. I mean, sure. Again, I, by no stretch of the imagination am I saying there aren't questions out there. Some of it does come from trust of certain coaches. I think the defense will be better to a certain degree just because Saleh is here. I love that the 49ers at least are trying to address their special teams.
Yep.
New coach has a great reputation. Brant Boyer, like, let's see exactly what he's able to do in this position. And I think he's going to take a lot less guff, if you will, than what we've seen in the past on special teams. So those are all totally fair question marks. But, you know, he brings up one point that I think is interesting, and I'd like to at least try to debunk it a little bit, is this idea that, like, the league now knows what Kyle's doing, so they're ready for it. Does Kyle need to evolve a little bit? Everybody does every year, I believe.
Yeah.
And everybody needs to have, with new personnel, a good idea of how do I put this personnel in its best position to succeed. So, yes, there are tweaks and turns. But the idea that now, like, everyone's been watching Kyle and his dad for a long time, so now they all just know what's coming, like, is the idea basically that that just happened last year? Like, the family's been in the league for two generations, and just last year, suddenly they're like, oh, now I know what I'm doing. And actually, to me, it's more the other way. Half the league is off of the Shanahan tree, and they are also doing what they're doing. To me, that comes down to personnel. And last year, when you had no McCaffrey on the field, and you had a group of receivers that were having a hard time separating, and an offensive line that was having a hard time staying healthy and whatnot, that's what kind of threw the timing off. I don't think it's because everybody just suddenly knew exactly what was coming and they were a step ahead of Kyle Shanahan.
Well, if they were, then they would not have been able to get 6.2 yards per play, which was tied for second with Tampa and Detroit and the Niners. So Baltimore is at 6.8, and you got Lamar and Derrick Henry, and you've got a really good offense and a great team. The Niners were tied for second. So you can't look, for me, you can't look at Shanahan's offense last year in totality and say, oh, that offense, they figured you out.
Yep.
They solved you. They were eighth in running the football without McCaffrey, without a lot of Trent Williams, and, you know, uneven play at center and guard, and Jordan Mason toting the rock, and, you know, Juszczyk did not have a good year as the lead blocker, and yet you still were tied for second in yards per play. The problem with the offense last year was untimely misses by your kicker, red zone inefficiency, and inconsistent wide receiver play.
Yep. I mean,
Ayuk had about a quarter and a half of elite football. Debo Samuel was more down than up on the year. Ricky Pearsall had gotten shot. So you can look at a number of different things, not excuses, but the numbers tell you that the Niners were better than their record indicates.
Yeah, and again, I know how our fan brains work, which is this is what we last saw, therefore that's kind of where we start when we come back, and it's just not accurate because
right. Especially in football,
all of these teams are totally different. All of them are totally different. We see surprises every year. I know people, for instance, people will look at the NFC North right now, and they're like, well, the Lions are really good. Well, you've said, actually, I see maybe a drop-off
yeah.
there. I'll give you another one. Well, the Packers are really good. I got a bad feeling about the Packers this year. They look woefully bad, even in the little spots where the starters have been in, and they're very banged up, and they've got a different composition to that team. I don't think they're going to have a great year. Maybe it's just an okay year. The Vikings, a lot of people think, will just pick up where they left off. How can you think that? The next pass their quarterback throws will be his first NFL
yeah.
pass. And then there's Chicago with a whole new coaching staff and you know, new players that they've got in skill spots. Roma Dunze, second year. Luther Burden at receiver. Colston Loveland, the really highly drafted tight end. There's all these things. I just think the composition is going to be completely different. So to look at last year and say this is the way any division looks, therefore that's where it starts this year, I don't see it that way. I think
yeah.
all of these divisions are going to look
well,
different.
Well, it's especially that way in football. And if you take a look at the nature of last year. It was more than just injuries and personal tragedies. It was a schedule that was among the most difficult in terms of rest disadvantage, and back-to-back at Green Bay and Buffalo, and the schedule itself, tough opponents and a tough stack in terms of the order of those games. You're not going to have that this year.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.